Welcome to Rhema for Today.
You'll notice from these scriptures that I read to you, these four actually, the Word of God speaks about the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. You see, this suggests the thought of a dual working of the Spirit of God in those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can see from reading the scriptures and others that we'll give you that it is quite evident that there is a dual working of the Spirit of God in the lives of those who believe upon Jesus.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. This week, we went back into the archives and found a series by Kenneth E. Hagin that we know will be life-changing. Also, later in today's program, Kenneth will tell you about this month's radio offer.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them to four portions of Scripture. I want to read, first of all, from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. And then Acts, the first chapter, and then just hold that place in John because we're going to read some other scriptures from the John's Gospel. You'll be able to find them if you'll just keep that 14th chapter. The others are not too far away. 14th chapter, John's Gospel, and Acts, the first chapter. John 14:7, Jesus said, "Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now there in John's Gospel, turn back to the 4th chapter. The 4th chapter of John's Gospel to the 14th verse. Jesus here is speaking to the woman, you know, at the well of Samaria. In this 14th verse of the 4th chapter, he said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now turn to John's Gospel, the 7th chapter. The 7th chapter of John's Gospel, and we shall read verse 37 through 39. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe upon him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Shall we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Our Father, we do thank thee for thy precious, holy word. We thank you for the privilege to come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the privilege to feed upon the word of God. We trust the Holy Ghost tonight to give us utterance. As the psalmist of old said, "Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer." We pray for the congregation that each ear shall be listening, that each mind shall be open, that each heart shall be receptive unto thy holy word. And we pray again for all of us, every single one of us in attendance, that we shall not just be hearers of the word only, but that we'll be doers of the word, walking in the light of the word of God, putting God's word into practice, and becoming recipients then of all that you provided and promised. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Praise God. You'll notice from these scriptures that I read to you, these four actually, the word of God speaks about the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. You see, this suggests the thought of a dual working of the Spirit of God in those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can see from reading the scriptures and others that we'll give you, that it is quite evident that there is a dual working of the Spirit of God in the lives of those who believe upon Jesus. And we'll see that there's a twofold development that God expects in His Spirit-filled children. Now, in the books of the Acts of the Apostles, we read of the spread of the gospel and of the manner in which various classes of people were led into the experience of full salvation and baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, you understand that these people were walking in all the light that they had, and that the new birth, the Holy Ghost within, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost had not become available as it is now. And so you find four distinct groups existing at that time as far as religious profession was concerned. Now, first of all, you have the Orthodox Jews. You see, there on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this was not just the apostles. They were 120 people there. If you'll turn back to the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, you'll see that prior to the day of Pentecost, Jesus had appeared unto the disciples in the 22nd verse and breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Well, did they receive the Holy Ghost or did they not receive the Holy Ghost? They didn't. Well, Jesus certainly misled them, didn't he? No, you see, even here is a dual working of the Spirit of God. They received the Holy Ghost because now the new birth could become available. Before, they only had a promissory note on it. You see, Jesus had not died. You see, the Bible said in Romans 10, you're familiar with it, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, those folks couldn't believe that while Jesus is here on the earth because he hadn't been raised from the dead yet. But now then they can believe that. And then he went on to say, "Wherefore with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And so you see, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, I want you to notice this, that in this 20th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus, you remember, as Mary went out to the tomb on that first day, and he was not there, the tomb was empty, and someone approached, she thought it was the gardener. And she said, "Tell me where you've laid him," you see, or "where they've taken him." And Jesus said, "Mary." And when he spoke to her, then she recognized him. And Jesus said, now notice this, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father and unto your Father, and unto my God and unto your God." Now then, later on here, he appears to the disciples. And if you'll read the account of some of the other gospel writers, Jesus said, "Touch me or handle me." You see, a spirit has not flesh and bone. Now, why did he say to Mary, "Don't touch me"? Why did he say now to the disciples, "Touch me or handle me"? Because, you see, he had accomplished what he inferred to Mary. "I've not yet ascended." That's the reason, "Don't touch me," to my Father. And you see, between the time Mary saw him and the time he appeared to the disciples, he had ascended unto my Father, as he said, and to my God, unto your Father and your God. And then he said, and then Paul says, in the book of Hebrews, we'll not take time, I'm just assuming you know the scripture well enough to know it, and sometime maybe we make a mistake, we should take time to look them up. But Paul talks in the book of Hebrews about Jesus entering in to the heavenly holies of holies. Now notice, once and for all, to obtain an eternal redemption for us. You see, that's what he did between the time that Mary saw him and the time that he appeared to his disciples, because he said, I've not yet ascended. So he had ascended. What for? Now later on, we see that he ascends on high and is seated at the right hand of the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. But at this time, he ascended on high and entered into the heavenly holies of holies with his own blood to obtain an eternal redemption for us. And so then salvation as we know it, or the new birth, blessed be God, became a reality. Now then notice this. You have your Bibles open there to John 20, 22. When he had thus said, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now notice. Notice the next verse. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. I want you to notice that he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost in connection with the remission of sins. Did you notice that? How he hooks them together. Now again, you see, the scripture is oftentimes misconstrued and misinterpreted. Does man have the power, the authority to forgive sins? No. The Bible in another place said, who can forgive sins but God only? But you see, now that Jesus has obtained eternal redemption, and the Holy Ghost can come into man and recreate his spirit, then we can go preach Jesus as Savior. And when someone accepts him and acknowledges him as Lord, we can say to them, your sins are remitted.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Pastor Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. To find out more about this month's special offer, you can go to rhema.org. Call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or if you prefer to write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth Hagin.
Well, we have a call to arms special from this week. And so we have two different products. The first one is Dad's newest book, just came out a few months ago, called Connect, Staying Connected So You Can Win. Dad talked a lot about winning and a lot of his things. So that's that book. And then I have a USB drive. There's 10 messages on the subject of faith. For a gift of $35 or more, you'll get both of those items. And you can go to rhema.org to find out about that. And pretty much anything you want to know about our ministry, you can go to rhema.org.
Oh, yeah, rhema.org.
And that's kind of the place to go.
Then yeah, also, you can watch on demand our Rhema Praise, this broadcast, church services, conferences, live streams there. We live stream everything. And you talk, you're involved in that more than I am.
We live stream everything except for the Call to Arms Men's Conference and the Ladies Conference. Those are both live events that you have to attend
because
to.
Because they're paid conferences.
Because they're paid conferences.
Call 1-888-FAITH-99. That's toll-free, 1-888-FAITH-99. Tomorrow, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue his message. That's tomorrow on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.